Being a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, Luke chapter 15, 1 through 3, and 11b through 32. My life has totally changed since I had a child. So many things have been added to my daily to-do list. One of them is to call family. Every day, if it is possible, I try to call both of my parents and Guko's parents to show them Caleb. Because of the 14-hour time difference, I mostly call them early in the morning, right after they wake up, or late at night, right before they go to bed in South Korea. But they never have had any complaints about it. Grandma and Grandpa always wait for this short time of talking with Caleb. Most times, I use FaceTime to call them, so good Wi-Fi condition is essential for it. Sometimes, when the weather is not good, windy or rainy, the call is just disconnected in less than a minute because the Wi-Fi is not working well. Sometimes the internet connection is unable for some unknown reason. Then my parents in South Korea asked me, who is in the US, how to fix it? Can you guess what the answer that I give to them? Please reboot your Wi-Fi router. Surprisingly, 9 out of 10 times it worked out. A few months ago, for whatever reason, the St. Croix Falls United Methodist Church's internet was messed up. Although Wi-Fi was connected, the Wi-Fi icon was full, there was no internet. I did not know what to do at first, so I worked in the office without internet for a few days, and eventually I called the internet company and asked for help. Their response was that the internet signal looks fine, so I may have to check the Wi-Fi router. But actually, the router was the new one, which was purchased in about a month earlier. Therefore, I asked help to the internet company rather than just to reboot Wi-Fi router first. Anyway, I took their advice, so I rebooted my Wi-Fi router, and then internet was working well again. I was ashamed and regretted the time that I spent uncomfortably without the internet for several days just because I did not think of this simple method. Reboot! Likewise, there is a time in our life of faith that we lost the connection to God. We may have tried various methods to reconnect to God, but nothing worked well. Or sometimes we don't even notice that we are disconnected from God. Then it is time to be reset in Jesus Christ. Paul, who is the writer of today's New Testament, 2 Corinthians, is a very special person. Most of us believe in Jesus when we are young, but Paul came to believe in Jesus in his 30s. He expressed how he changed after he believed in Jesus Christ in a very intense language in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything has been passed away. See, everything has become new. This simply means that as we believe in Jesus Christ, we are newly created. Some translation says new person instead of new creation. Because we came to be a new person as we believe in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ can bring us some external changes, but in today's New Testament, being a new creation means the foundational change in us. Paul, who confessed this, wanted to talk about his inner changes, not about his external changes. Some people say that this is possible without believing in Jesus. After a fatal illness, after a business failure, or after a divorce, even without faith, people become mature and sensible and change the way they live or think. But in today's text, being a new creation means more than that. It goes further. It means an authentic change of our inner selves in Jesus Christ. Paul was a great man of religion. Originally, the Jews were well known for their strong faith, and Paul was even more special among them. He was not only an Orthodox Jew, but also he had a pure bloodline. Furthermore, he was an academically outstanding person. As a Jew, he just tried to do his best to please God. Therefore, instead of being satisfied with living abundantly and enjoying his life on earth, he was always interested in ultimate concern. Then, what made him to confess that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation? Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. To put it simply, you can imagine the moment when the young man falls into love. Love makes him see everything in the world in a new way. For those who fall in love, the world looks so wonderful and so lovely. Likewise, for those who were reborn as a new creation, a whole new perspective is given on life. Their soul and spirit are fully filled with joy and peace of God. It is not a joy and peace which we can easily achieve, but they come out from deep in our hearts. And this experience begins with rebuilding our relationship with God. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul said that we are ambassadors for Christ since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The Greek word for reconciliation is katalogy, and it means a friendship with God. But what is important here is that it is not something we do, but something God provides and we receive. If we take this, being a new creation, as another expression in religion, we can name it as conversion experience. Usually, when we say conversion experience, we mean when a person who did not believe in Jesus found belief in Jesus, or a person who had a different religion newly believed in Jesus. But you know what? Actually, conversion experience is possible for us as Christians who already believe in Jesus. We can think of the best example for this from the story of conversion of John Wesley. John Wesley had done a lot of works and spiritual practices to please God as a faithful Christian. As we shared last week, he tried his best to live the life of a good Christian. But he did not have enough confidence in his heart to see whether he was good enough or not. His heart was troubled by his effort to make sure that he really pleased God and whether all the efforts were truly accepted by God. But purely by chance, while he was listening to someone describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, he felt something new in his mind that he had never felt before. It was written on his journal that I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in God. Trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sin, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. John Wesley finally came to accept God's acceptance, which is the undeserved and unearned love of God. He finally experienced the true presence of God, the love of God, and received the salvation through Christ, which he understood only with his head. From this experience, finally, his faith moved from his head to his heart. When we understand faith not only with our heads, but also experience deeply in our hearts, then we are reborn in Jesus Christ as a new creation. His life before and after this experience can never be the same. It was changed 180 degrees. Today's gospel text clearly shows us the life of a distorted or disconnected relationship with God. We often remember this text as the story of the prodigal son, which only focused on the younger son who left home and wandered before coming back to his father. However, if you have read this text a little more carefully, you may want to not only focus on the younger son, but also on the older son too. Spiritually, both of the sons left their father. The younger son had left his father because of his sin. The older son left his father because of his own righteousness. The younger son claimed the inheritance from his father, who was still alive. To him, his father was merely a means of obtaining wealth. He wanted the wealth of his father, but he did not want him. But the father did not reject the request of his son, nor did he abandon his relationship with him. Rather, the father was willing to give the inheritance to his younger son. The son went to a distant country and wasted all his possessions. And as he faced a desperate need, he finally returned to his father. When the father saw his younger son's return, he walked toward his son and forgave him right away. He also prepared a great feast to celebrate his younger son's return. However, the elder son, who came back from the field, was very angry at his father. He said to his father that, "For many years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you order the best calf to be killed for a feast." But again this time, his father never condemned his elder son. Rather, he replied, "My son, you are always with me. Everything that I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found." From the two sons in this parable, we see two ways of life that are disconnected from God. One for his own sin and the other for his own righteousness. And yet it reminds us of the steadfast love of the Father, who understands everything, forgives everything, embraces everything, and accepts everything. Let me read Luke 15:1-3 again. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable." This part gives us important background to understand why Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son and his brother. Furthermore, we now know the prodigal son represents the tax collectors and sinners, and the older son represents the Pharisees and the scribes. And this teaching of Jesus leads us who listen to this story now look back at our lives again. Perhaps we were like the elder son, we were like the Pharisees and scribes, we were like Paul, and we were like John Wesley, who had believed in Jesus only with our hands. For decades, we have confessed that we have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but has your faith ever moved from your head to heart? Was there a real change in your life because of faith in Jesus Christ? Are you assured that you were reborn as a new creation, a new person in Jesus Christ? Now, more than ever before, we need to go back to the basics. After the special session of the General Conference, many people were in pain, angry, disappointed, terrified, brokenhearted, hopeless, and helpless. But we should know that this is not only about one side of people, but all of us are suffering in this situation. Even in our congregation, a small church in a small town, I see different opinions are clashing with each other, claiming their own justification. Before we point our fingers at each other, we honestly need to check our connection with God. Are we really standing in Jesus Christ? Then we need to remember how Jesus loved us. His love understands everything, forgives everything, embraces everything, and accepts everything. And now it is our turn to show this love toward each other. Lastly, I will let today's New Testament preach to each one of us. Let me read it in the Common English Version. We are careful not to judge people by what they seem to be. Though we once judged Christ in that way, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. God had done it all. He sent Christ to make peace between himself and us, and he has given us the work of making peace between himself and others. What we mean is that God was in Christ offering peace and forgiveness to the people of this world, and he has given us the work of sharing his message about peace. We were sent to speak for Christ, and God is begging you to listen to our message. We speak for Christ and sincerely ask you to make peace with God. Christ never sinned, but God treated him as a sinner so that Christ could make us acceptable to God. My brothers and sisters, Christ, hear the good news. Christ make us acceptable to God. Lord, reboot us as a new person in Jesus Christ so that we can make a true peace in us together. Oh Lord, let us make peace. Let us reboot. Praise God.